Popcorn crunchy cereal, it's so unhealthy for you. Corn crunchy cereal, nom nom nom.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Elle.
I'm Ashlyn. And we are Livey Cosplay.
And this is Shit Cosplayers Say.
Yep. For those of you that are just joining us, we've been doing this forever. We are BFFs and we are cosplayers and we like to say shit. So TLDR. So thanks for all of our return listeners for hanging out with us this long. So we definitely appreciate you coming back and chilling with us. How's that progress on Harley going?
Well, considering we're recording this all in the same day, it's still the same.
You're giving away all of our trade secrets. Trade secrets.
We are actually recording in advance to try to make sure, as we try to continue with our No Con Crunch, that also includes this podcast. So we are trying to make sure that we're at least a couple episodes ahead of our release dates so that we don't have to crunch this product that we are trying to put out.
Essentially, I mean, we want to make sure that we've got some quality entertainment for you guys, and at the same time, we still need to make sure that we're going to have all of our time to work on our cosplay and convention projects, panels, costumes, performances,
so editing.
Editing.
And life balance.
What is that?
What is that?
Some people are really bad at that.
Yes, we're both really bad at that.
It's fine.
We try. I mean, I guess that's one of the blessings with Harley is at least, like, things like rhinestones for days is actually really soothing to me. So as far as this project fitting into my life balance, it's been kind of nice because I actually don't mind sitting there and, like, putting rhinestones on for, like, an hour.
It can be really relaxing.
It can be really relaxing. Although I wouldn't recommend trying to do rhinestones for, like, an hour because E6000 can make you feel pretty terrible.
I mean, I believe you.
It's pretty awful.
I know. I've had the headaches before.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, you can get what is called E6000 poisoning.
Oh.
Yeah. I think I've had this before because definitely multiple times working on Harley before I bought a respirator, I got headaches and nausea and difficulties breathing, which all go with E6000 poisoning.
I mean, to be fair, I'm pretty sure when I was working on Nehalenia, I got the same thing with her appliques because headaches, dizziness, even a little bit, like, with the shortness of breath after a little while, even though I would, like, leave and then come back and just, you know.
We definitely did with silica.
Oh, goodness. We don't talk about silica.
We don't usually talk about silica. However, she's very appropriate to speak of.
It's true. So, for those of you that don't know, Silica is a character from Sword Art Online, and I chose her blue outfit from the quote-unquote second video game, Alfheim Online, and it is like a blue leather bolero and almost like a skirt. Like it kind of resembles like a two-piece trench coat almost.
It is a two-piece trench coat, basically.
But so I had this like harness system that went under my like armor breastplate, and yeah, so the lining to my breastplate was all glued in because I couldn't get anything else to kind of go in there to make the inside pretty and comfortable against my skin. And then, because she wears a crop top also, because why wouldn't you? And then, on top of that, like, we had glued this gold trim that looked like studs all around the entire costume. And then there were some parts that were actually hand-stitched, like, punched and then stitched together, because this was back when I hadn't really had a ton of experience with leather. So, of course, I picked the leather that was the pretty color and not the leather that was maybe necessarily what you should have used for making garments.
We definitely did not buy garment leather, but this project actually leads in really well for this episode, because today we are giving you a taste of the panel, which is questions from one of our favorite categories, which is natural selection.
It is, to be fair, my favorite category by far.
Oh, yes. Because it is the Darwin Award of cosplay. But the first question we actually have is, can I use E6000 to glue my cosplay together instead of a sewing machine?
Just because you can.
Doesn't mean you should. But that is basically what we did with Silica.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, Silica was, like I said, we did hand punch her and then hand stitch her, but also all of the seams were reinforced with glue. All the trim was put on with glue. We used a combination of, like, super glue, E6000, and the ultimate.
The ultimate,
and then
that's
was
right.
There was some other, like, random other... Essentially, like, I bought my craft store out of glue, whatever they had, I had at my house, and we were just, like, gluing like crazy constantly. Like, I got up several hours before work every morning to kind of work on this.
And we still glued in the hotel room.
Yeah, we talked about that, too.
That did happen.
Also, a lot of these adhesives are heat-activated, so I will not say that there's definitely video on the internet of me with my underskirt, like, falling off of the harness because the heat had reactivated.
There's definitely a video of that on the internet.
Yeah, well, you only see it for like half a second because then I'm behind the backdrop.
That's right.
But yeah, no, that was quite an experience.
So one of the big reasons practicality-wise that you would not want to glue your entire costume together with E6000 is it is heat activated and your costume may melt.
It's true. It'll definitely come apart. I've seen people do that with hot glue too.
Oh yeah, I mean hot glue will do the same thing if it gets warm enough in a convention center, which happens frequently. Hot glue will start to reactivate and then come apart as well. But people don't think about it as much for things like Ultimate or E6000 because they're known for having such great adherence.
Right.
But they are heat activated.
If there's that many bodies in one place and you're all like crammed into each other, and especially like for people that are interested in either really popular panels or big crowds or even like summertime raves, I mean, there's just so many factors.
Yeah.
I did glue Rose into a cosplay once at Anime Iowa, like back in like 02 or 03. And then she got up on stage and sang a song during the cosplay contest.
That's
it was a good
true.
Time.
You did hot glue her into a costume once.
I did. I burned her. I'm sorry, Rose. I love you.
That did happen.
Yeah.
Once upon a time.
But that's okay. She forgave me.
That's good.
Yeah, but she liked it though.
Well, the other issue is that just because the glue has dried doesn't mean that when it reactivates, you're not going to get fumes again either.
Because that's definitely a thing that I've noticed.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big thing with E6000 in general is it is not particularly safe.
Well, and actually every year I have to do hazmat training with my employer. And one of the big things they tell you is if you smell it, you're in it. So
exactly.
The same thing is 100% true of any of these sorts of adhesives. If you can smell the fumes from the adhesives, whether you're wearing something, you're working on something, or somebody else is wearing something, if you smell it, you're in it. Your body has already been exposed to that chemical. And even if you don't necessarily notice right away, just for the simple fact that you can smell it, your body is already interacting with it, probably in a negative fashion.
Oh, easily, because I know we've both have had issues with glue fumes.
Oh, yes.
In the past. I know I've had slight E6000 poisoning from Harley.
I can definitely see that. And especially, like, this time of year, a lot of people find it a lot harder to work on stuff because, you know, if it's nice out, you can, you know, usually crack the windows and get some airflow going as long as there's not, like, too much wind where it's going to blow everything around.
I mean, we have winter where it can be 70 degrees one day and below zero the next, so, you know.
It's true. Remember
I wish I was exaggerating, but I'm really not, because that kind of happened a couple weeks ago.
Well, and I remember a couple years ago, we had the 100 degree swing where it was, like, right at the end of December, beginning of January. It was...
Oh, that's right.
With the wind chill,
yeah.
It was minus 50 one day and legit 50 above the next day. And I'm like, what just happened?
Yes.
Global
yes.
warming. That's what happened.
It was horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, my dog was really displeased with me that day because I wouldn't let her go outside. I'm like, it's negative 50. No.
She's a husky. She doesn't care.
I care.
So we actually looked up some of the warnings in relationship to E6000, because we do feel that it is important that you guys know the seriousness of this product. Because I'll be honest, until I did a little bit more research, I wasn't actually using a respirator when working on Harley. And now I do, after looking into and reading some stories about how severe these glue poisonings can get just from their fumes. It can be pretty traumatic.
Yeah. So we've got a couple different E6000 labels and things here, but the most important word of the day that you want to remember is cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go through this, shall we? I think we shall. Warning: vapor harmful. Possible cancer agent.
Yep.
May cause skin irritation. Prolonged exposure to vapor may cause eye irritation. Check. Dizziness. Check. Headache.
Check.
Nausea.
Check.
Intentional misuse by deliberately concentrating and inhaling contents may be harmful. You don't say.
Really?
Weird. After all of those lovely things that you described were going to happen earlier, I totally thought this was going to be sunshine and rainbows. Keep out of reach of children. Please do. Avoid inhalation. If you can smell it, you're in it. Use exhaust fan to remove vapors and ensure adequate cross ventilation. So yeah, crack those windows. Keep the doors open. Use a ventilator. There are so many options. Just get those fumes away from you and disperse as quickly as possible. Avoid ingestion. Good lord.
Oh god.
Please don't eat it.
Well, so like, this does also include, don't ever work with these adhesives and have food out at the same time. That is typically how someone's gonna end up ingesting something like this, is you have like a snack out while you're gluing or working on things. Like, don't do that. Don't even have like open drink containers. Because again, if you can smell it, you're in it. So some of that might potentially end up in those areas as well. Like, you want closed containers. You don't want to accidentally, like, have your fingers get something in something. Have some glue. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to use my fine tip E6000 and had it spray because something's clogged and I don't know. Closed containers, safety first.
Safety first. And obviously, this also means do not put E6000 on anything you plan on putting in or near your mouth.
Please don't.
Please don't. Please, please, please. Avoid skin and eye contact. So no, this is not an appropriate adhesive to attach prosthetic.
I'm sure someone's tried that too.
And I'm sure they got terrible burns.
I'm sure they did.
Wash hands immediately after use. If symptoms persist, get medical attention. For further information, contact Poison Control.
Well, and if you do have to remove E6000, it actually will come off with acetone or rubbing alcohol pretty easily. Because it is hard to work with it and not accidentally get a little bit on your hands. It's going to happen. I haven't had too much issues with the Fabrifuse getting on my hands. The regular one actually does burn pretty lovely. But it's also hard to use gloves and E6000 because then you get stuck to your work.
You get stuck to your gloves.
I've never done that.
But if you're getting headaches and you're getting dizzy, definitely make sure that you move away from the area, get some fresh air. Like I said, crack that window to kind of get those fumes out as much as possible, as quickly as possible before you re-enter, because you don't want to re-agitate it after you've escaped it, more or less.
I usually try to stick to like 20 minutes at a time, even with the respirator, and then taking a break. Just to make sure that I'm not spending too much time around the E6000. Because it's lovely. And I mean, it's a wonderful product. You just need to be safe with
it. Yeah, make sure that you're paying attention to those warning labels, guys. Because I know too many people that have done things that they shouldn't. That it was clearly written in black and white. Don't do this. There's a reason why they tell you not to do it. Like, whenever you go to the hotels and they tell you not to put hangers on the sprinkler system.
How many cosplayers do you think have actually put hangers on a sprinkler system?
It would not surprise me if it was a lot.
My guess is a lot.
Or just people in general, like.
Well, yeah, I mean, just people in general, but in particular, like, there's never anywhere to hang your costume in a hotel room.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see that occurring.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, how many cosplayers have used the hotel's super stark white, like, washcloths to remove makeup?
Right. And I get that a lot of it comes from, like, looking for a more convenient way to put your things where you need them or get your stuff done. I mean, that's where the use of adhesives like E6000 comes from for odd uses. Like, if you're thinking of E6000ing your costume together instead of a sewing machine, it means that you feel that that's going to be faster and more convenient than attempting to sew, probably because you don't have a sewing machine.
Or you don't know how to use one.
Right.
Well, we have these initiatives at work where ultimately we are trying to find ways for things to be easier, better, faster, or cheaper. And I feel like a lot of people try to find shortcuts in cosplay that kind of meet those same criteria, but they're not always going to be the best ideas, and they're not always going to be the safest ideas. And ultimately, if you get injured from cosplay, that's bad. Let's not do that.
Because you want to still be healthy in order to continue your hobby.
Right. You want to be able to wear said costume.
Speaking of convenience.
Yes, let's speak.
So our next question that is also a fan favorite that we want to share with you from the panel is all about trying to make things faster and more convenient. I want to make gems using hot glue and silicone molds. Can I melt the glue in my toaster oven?
I have a question.
Yes.
Why are we just not using the glue gun?
That was my first question when I first got this question submitted, because I am actually the one that goes through the emails and the submission process. So please be kind, because eventually it's going to be a lot to go through. But this was one that we got a really long time ago. My first question was, why aren't you just using the glue gun?
That's my question.
Yeah. Well, and I...
They're so inexpensive.
Well, and I'm going to assume that it has something to do with wanting to have a large amount of it at one time. Like, what I think they're wanting to do is, like, chop the glue sticks up, put them in the molds, and stick the molds into the toaster oven.
Oh, and just have it kind of, like...
And just have it, melt, like, do its thing.
Like baking cookies.
Yes! Okay. We are baking hot glue cookies, essentially.
Oh, okay.
I believe is what the idea was.
I guarantee you that the packaging for hot glue says do not ingest. I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, I'm sure that
don't actually make hot glue cookies and eat them.
But I think that was the thought process was, well, if I like chop it up and put it in the silicone mold and just stick it in the oven, it should all melt and then like I'm all done.
Okay, because when you first said like a large batch of it, my first thought was, but if you heat too much of it up at the same time, you're not going to be able to get it where it needs to go before it cools and hardens again.
Well, and that's the reason you would not want to do this is because you are really likely to burn your hot glue. It's going to be extremely difficult to make sure that the hot glue heats evenly within the toaster oven because it's going to have different thicknesses and what's on, you know, the bottom is going to heat before what's on the top. And so it's not going to melt effectively and evenly. So controlling that overall temperature is going to be a big problem because what's in there first is going to cool and it's going to be a hot mess. So you're likely to burn what's on the bottom because it's already done versus what's on the top as it heats through. And you are going to get gross fumes. I mean, it is going to stink to high heaven.
Well, and like we just talked about, if you can smell it, you're in it.
Right.
And now you just put those fumes in your toaster oven where presumably you're going to be cooking food.
Yeah.
So now you've got your hot glue fumes and your silicone fumes hanging out with your food. Now, you know, like whenever you put something in the fridge and maybe it's not covered or in like an airtight.
Like an onion.
And then your entire refrigerator smells like whatever that food item is. That's what you just did. Like I've had like milk and stuff get gross because of other foods that were in my fridge. And you could like an onion almost get that like weird taste, even if it's like closed and contained, like it'll go on those other food items that are in the refrigerator with it, and you just kind of can't escape it. But you just did that with your glue and your silicone in your toaster oven where you're going to heat up and cook other food.
Basically ruined your toaster oven by making this attempt to save you some time in creating your molds.
Right. It's well, like when you boil water and you do dyeing,
you
can't use a dye pot.
No.
For food. Don't ever use
do that.
Don't use a dye pot or the utensils that you stir the dye pot with ever for food again.
Yep.
Just throwing that out there. If you've never considered that, don't do it. It's bad. But it's for the same reason, because it's contaminated now. You cannot safely cook food in that dye pot. I would imagine it would be the same way with the toaster oven.
Yeah.
If you've got those glue and silicone fumes hanging around in there, you can't safely... Now, I do realize that they do make silicone food molds, but that doesn't necessarily mean that this mold that you got for whatever item that you're making, whether it's a gem or a capuchon or whatever, was intended for food use, because there are different types of molds intended for different uses that have different governmental regulations attached to them.
Right. So just because it says, which that's a really good point, just because it says it's a silicone-based mold, doesn't mean it's even safe to put in the toaster oven.
Right.
So for all we know, that's also going to burn.
Yes.
Which will also send toxic fumes into the air.
Well, and then if it burns through, then you're going to have a hole in it, and then you're going to have a huge mess.
Fire.
Yes.
Yes.
That's definitely a potential, is fire.
You're going to have fire.
That was a little extreme compared to what I was thinking of, like...
Fire.
Whenever you've got, like,
stuff
in your oven dripping down, but...
The meme of the dog sitting in the house going, this is fine.
This is fine.
That was totally started by someone putting hot glue in a silicone mold into a toaster oven.
Was it?
Yes.
That's specific.
How the dog started that fire.
Oh.
It's all because somebody put hot glue and, silicone mold into a toaster oven.
But can I put it in my refrigerator for my skit?
I mean, you...
To cool it off quickly.
Could try.
To cool it off quickly.
You could throw it in the refrigerator to cool it off.
What would happen if I put my toaster oven inside the refrigerator and then I melted hot glue and a silicone mold inside of it? Inquiring minds want to know. Do not try this at home.
I don't know. I just had to avoid a spit tank, guys. I'm sorry.
It's good. Elle's just dying across the room here. It's fine.
I am.
But not from E6000
fumes. Not from E6000 fumes. From the concept of a toaster oven in your refrigerator to cool your silicone mold that also has hot glue in it.
This is fine. This must be how we start the fire.
This is how we start. We didn't start the fire.
The roof is on fire.
The roof is on fire.
The fridge.
The fridge. The fridge is on fire.
Oh, good.
I'm glad.
Wow.
So I was really curious about this, though, as far as, like, what are other potential ways to melt large quantities of hot glue?
Get a bigger glue gun.
Well, yeah. Well, we already know what the logical way is to do this.
There are so many sizes.
But I really wanted to use my Google Foo.
Yeah.
And see what other options were available for melting large quantities of glue.
Please tell me.
Normally for hot glue, if you were to do this in a silicone mold, you just do layers with a regular hot glue gun. So you do a layer, you smooth it out, you wait. You do a layer, you smooth it out, you wait. I mean, it takes a while, but that's it.
And then you get all that fun, like, heat-activated issues that we talked about when we were talking about E6000, where you might have to worry about it getting soft or melting, potentially, if it gets too warm.
Right.
At a con, which is...
Yeah, so I don't really recommend doing, like, molds with hot glue in general, because it is going to soften back up, and then what are you going
to
do?
I mean, not if it's something that you're wanting to last for a long time.
No, right.
Like, if you're wanting to make something, like, low-key, like, for Halloween or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to wear it a ton.
Well, and it works fine for, like, detail work. I've seen some pretty cool things with
Absolutely.
Hot glue and detail work. But if you're making a solid object out of hot glue, hot glue reheats so quickly. Unless you're using, like, the extremely high temp, which you wouldn't want to use in a silicone mold, because
right.
It might burn the mold.
Yeah.
So you're actually going to want to use low temp. Well, it's really easy to reactivate low temp hot glue.
Well, then I would think it would be heavy. Depending.
Yeah.
If you're making a large object, like you
yeah,
said.
Yeah, I mean, even if they're not super big objects, like, say you're making gems, because that's really, I mean, that's what they're making.
Mm-hmm.
It's not particularly heavy, which is nice, but... At the same time, you're going to put these gems in on your costume. You're going to go outside and do a photo shoot in the 80-degree heat, and your costume's going to melt. I mean, we've had that happen with Thibra
yeah,
before.
Thermoplastics.
Where it wasn't even that hot, but we were out in our Ray Earth costumes, and my armor started to get tacky.
And those costumes are pretty lightweight to wear in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we picked them, is because they're comfortable, because they're lightweight, and they'd be great for a summer con. I mean, we don't sweat a ton in them. The fabric breathes pretty decently, and the actual shape of the fabrics, you know, allow for a lot of movement. They were great summer costumes, but yeah, then the Thibra decided it wanted to start reactivating, and I mean, that's thermoplastic.
Because right. Thibra's low temp, so it activates really quickly. So, I mean, normally you would do gems more out of something like resin that's far more solid.
Well, and I understand why people aren't, like, super on resin.
Because it's hard to use, as particular in the Midwest.
Yes, just because our weather sucks here, let's be honest.
And hot glue's a lot cheaper.
It is. If you can buy, like, a whole package of hot glue for $1, whereas resin, you have to buy all of your materials separately and usually in larger quantities.
But there's really not a good way to protect the hot glue from the possibility that it's going to reactivate.
Right.
But I get why you'd want to use it, and I get why you might not want to do it in the layered format. So there were some pretty interesting suggestions for it, but my overall favorite one that has some potential to work is this concept where you take, like, an old soup can. You put the hot glue sticks in it, and then you put hot water in the can to melt the glue sticks, then pour them into your mold.
But wouldn't you just be pouring the water into your mold?
See, so that was my question, too, was I feel like it's still going to be really uneven. It's going to be watery. Yes, you will melt all of the glue, but I don't think that it's going to work the way that you want it to. Now, you could go the other route and take the boiling water and stick the can in it and try to melt the glue.
See, that would make more sense to me, because that's like what you do when you're melting chocolate.
Right.
You put it in a container, and then you put that container into the boiling water in order to melt the chocolate.
Right.
To then pour into, like, your candy mold.
Which is more likely to work. I still think it would be very uneven.
Mm-hmm.
As far as how it would melt.
Right.
Because the other thing that you have to take into consideration is it's also going to shrink as it cools off. So that's the other reason you do it in layers, is because then you can fill in the spots where it shrinks. So, like, you do a small layer, you let it dry, you let it cool and shrink, you do another layer, that fills in the other spots, it cools, it shrinks, and you just keep going.
Right.
This concept of trying to heat it in a can, you're not going to be able to use it quickly enough. It's going to cool off before you can, like, you're still going to have to do it in layers. It's not going to solve the problem.
Right. Well, and like you said, it's not going to go, like, super evenly. So then you're going to have some of your glue that's a little bit more melted than other glue. And then it's going to come out chunky. And then depending on how long it takes for you to fill in your molds to begin with, like, by the time that you're dumping out your larger quantity of glue into the little mold, it's going to have solidified again in your can.
I still kind of want to try it, though.
Well, maybe one day we will put on our safety glasses and our lab coats, and we can play science.
Can we do a science video?
I mean, it sounds like a good time. Do you guys want to see us do science videos? Because I do think that could be a really good time. We could totally do a science video. If you guys want to see science videos, please let us know.
Our email is podcastscs@gmail.com.
It's true. And feel free to send Elle all the questions, because she says that she doesn't want them, but she really does. She wants all of them. Or if you have a science video that you would like us to do, I guess.
Yes. Is there a technique that is relatively safe that you would like us to try? Because we are not trying the, like, absolutely unsafe thing.
Well, yeah, no. If we know it's something that, you know, can cause death or something else, like, that sounds like a bad plan.
Speaking of death.
We're going to talk about the newest episode of Lore Olympus. Is that what we're going
to... We're not, because I'm only on, like, episode 4 of that. Do not tell me these things.
I got really excited because you said death, and then I was thinking, you know, like...
Shh.
Underworld.
Quiet.
Fine.
We do have to make those costumes at some point, though.
I know.
We really do.
I know. I've had my wig for purse forever.
I need to be Hades.
Please.
I do.
Please.
Because I make a very pretty boy.
Yes.
So I need to be Hades.
He's a bit more of a manly man than you're used to.
I make a pretty somewhat manly man sometimes.
I like how she couldn't even say that with a straight
face. I'm much better at playing 14-year-old boys.
It's true. It's definitely, definitely true.
Zen does fine.
Yeah, but that's different.
But he's like a 25-year-old boy or something.
Yes, he's a boy. So
he's still a boy.
He's still very much a boy.
I'll just be chat noir forever.
So I mean, that's okay, too. For those of you that don't know, I am a huge Miraculous. Ella's also super behind on Miraculous.
I'm really behind on everything. I haven't finished My Hero yet, either.
So if you want to talk about fun things like Lore Olympus or Miraculous with me, I am 100% down.
Just put a disclaimer in the subject line so I don't open it, because I don't want to know yet.
Yeah. I also take recommendations for things to read on Webtoon. I'm just saying, because I need more of them, because my once-a-week updates are just not enough.
Oh, yeah. We could use some podcasts, too.
Oh, yeah.
We're down for that.
I am totally down for podcast suggestions. We especially like anything having to do with cosplay, supernatural, true crime.
Our favorite one's coming back.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
After, gosh, what, 3 years?
I don't know. I was traumatized and blocked most of it out, and then you told me like forever ago that it might come back.
It's
and
coming
so
back.
I re-listened to the last episode, or the last like season in its entirety.
I haven't done it yet. I'm waiting till the new episodes appear, and then I will listen to it.
I think I'm gonna binge watch, or not binge watch, I'm gonna binge listen to, I think, the entire thing before I start the new
episode. Should do that. The podcast that we are very excited about is called The Black Tapes.
It's so good.
It is a supernatural thriller.
Yes.
And it is amazing. And there were rumors about a year ago that it was going to come back. And then suddenly, like, what, 2 weeks ago, season 3 suddenly just re-uploaded itself.
It did.
With an edit that said season 3 part 1. And I was like, oh shit, yes, it's yes. back. It's
so, oh, I'm so excited. Like,
I can't get enough of that podcast.
I can't handle it. I would totally, I know that theirs is more episodic, so they don't actually do like live shows, but I know that there are a lot of them that I would love to go to live shows for.
Oh yeah.
Because that would just be a really good time, so.
I mean, our dream in life is to be on Hello from the Magic Tavern.
I know. That was like my very first podcast, and I am a huge like gamer nerd anyway, and used to do tabletop and LARP quite a bit regardless. So when I started listening to that, I'm like, this is amazing, and it's my favorite thing, and please.
Please go tell them that Lavi Cosplay really wants to be a guest on your show, Hello from the Magic Tavern.
I mean, we're only like 2 or 3 hours from Chicago. We could totally make this happen.
We can totally make this happen.
That's like,
I don't even know what I would do with myself.
Elle might die before it gets recorded.
I would probably die before it gets recorded.
But that's like dreams.
Because that's like top 3 podcasts. I love them.
Please. I know. I love them so much. I really need to make my Chunkigu so I can wear it to one of their live shows.
Yeah, we unfortunately have tried to go to multiple live shows for podcasts, and the weekends never work out because we're
so
also
sad.
Missing, and that's why we drink.
I know.
Which, if you have not heard that podcast, please do.
It's a good time.
It's hysterical.
They are like soul sisters to us, and they don't even know it.
Yes, actually, listening to them solidified our concept of being like, we should do a podcast. Because I was listening to it the one day and it went, wow, they're us.
Yeah, their relationship is very similar to ours.
We should have a podcast.
It's a good time. I enjoy them a lot.
But they're a paranormal true crime podcast.
Yes, you get the best of both worlds.
And they're a really good time.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. So definitely go show them some love.
And they also talk a lot about death.
They do.
Since they are a true crime paranormal podcast, because we tangent.
we do.
Tangent.
Well, you know, does that need to go in Cosplay the Musical?
Tangent. The song.
We're going to sing about Con Crunchies, the cereal.
Con Crunchies. And Tangenting. Con Crunchies, the cereal.
Good.
Nom nom.
Nom nom. Yeah, so be sure to send us all of your inspiration for jingles.
I only write copy. I don't know how to write jingles.
And our and ideas for Shit Cosplayers Say episode 100, the musical.
And what we're going to put in our refrigerator at Anime Iowa.
Yes! So for those of you that weren't with us before, We are currently in negotiations, I guess you could call it, with Anime Iowa to come back for a second year as cosplay performance type guests. And we told their cosplay director we were going to submit a writer with ridiculous requests. So far, we want armchairs on the main stage for when we do shit cosplayers say. In between us, we want a mini fridge, either like a small one or a half size, not a full size fridge. That's too big because it's also going to double as a table. On top of that table, we're going to have a bowl of green M&Ms. But we're looking for ideas for things to request to put inside of the refrigerator. So if you have any ideas for us, please reach out to us either through email at podcastscs@gmail.com or on our social media, Instagram, Facebook, at Podcast SCS, or even Lobby Cosplay.
I will say, though, if you email us, we are 10 times more likely to get it.
Yes.
Because it's actually really hard for me to organize things from the different social medias, particularly Instagram. Like, I basically have to take a screenshot of it and then type it into my database.
Yeah, email is definitely preferred.
Because I can then sort it into folders or copy-paste it into the database that I have for being able to answer all your questions, adding different stories and things to different episodes. So particularly if you're going to send us something you want to have appear on a listener's episode, please email it to me.
Yeah, and don't forget to include your social media handles, whatever you would like us to call you, as well as your pronouns.
Yes, please. That will make it much easier for us to thank you.
Yes, and much more likely if we have all that information for us to be able to, you know, properly give it the attention it deserves. Because we definitely wouldn't be able to do this without you guys.
No.
So we want to make sure that we thank you properly.
Right, and we would like to be able to do listener episodes because they're always a good time.
Oh, yeah. So while you're sending out all the fun questions, go ahead and send all your favorite scenarios and favorite con and cosplay stories too. Because we would love to hear about them.
Would.
Yeah. Should we get back on our topic of death?
We should, now that we're done with tangent.
It says you now. It
says me now, but I'm sure we'll have another tangent in our
squirrel.
Future. What squirrel?
Squirrel.
Hi there. My name is Doug.
All right.
We've been up for a long time.
So death. Let's
death.
Talk.
Let's talk about death.
Yay. Let's talk about death.
The last question. And probably one of the most infamous that we have, which I feel defines the category of natural selection.
Dun, dun, dun.
Is, I've been told you can boil bleach to lighten fabric. Anyone know how long I should leave the fabric in?
No!
No!
Don't! Please! No.
No.
No. Go sit in the corner.
You're done. Sit in the corner.
No. Do not try this at home. No.
No.
Bad.
Time out.
Bad, bad, bad. Whoever told you this is bad and you should stop listening to them.
Like,
they obviously do not have your best interests in mind.
Potentially, it actually could light, like, it will lighten your fabric. However, the extreme danger of boiling bleach
danger
is not worth
danger.
Like, there are color removal things that you can use.
Please
use that.
And honestly, like, we could do a whole episode on changing colors of things, but no, don't. If you really, 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 if you've got a natural fiber and you're wanting to take some color out of it, I mean, feel free to use some of that color removal stuff. Depending on what kind of synthetic it is, you might just be stuck with it because some of those fibers are actually that colored when they're made. This is my textile science classes talking now.
Science!
Science! I know, from a fancy bachelor's degree we discussed in episode one. Look, some of those fibers actually come out of the machine in the color that they end up in front of you. Not all, like, quote-unquote gray goods start out a boring color. Some of those fabrics actually, when they're initially woven, are that. Whenever the fiber is created and it squirts it out of the tube, like, that's what color the fiber is. And if that's the case, you're gonna have a heck of a time actually taking any color out of that. So just, please don't. Please don't try to remove color that you don't need to. Adding color is way easier.
Dear. Ashlyn, what would happen if we decided to boil bleach?
Well, let's see. You might pass out. It might literally kill you.
Might.
And depending on what you mix it in, like, worse things could happen. Like, y'all know World War One. And I know everybody's talking about three right now on the internet, but one, mustard gas, super popular war weapon at the time. It's essentially like that plus ammonia.
That is
so
what,
like,
mustard gas is.
Let's just not do that.
There's a reason that you learn in, like, science in high school that bleach and other cleaning supplies should not be mixed together.
Yeah, you're not supposed to use them on the same items. Like, if you use bleach, you're supposed to legit wait, rinse it off, and then wait again before you even think about putting another cleaning agent on.
Because bleach essentially reacts negatively to most other chemical compounds.
Pretty much like everything. So let's get into this.
All right.
For those of you that are not familiar, any sort of hazardous material has what they call an MSDS, which is a materials safety data sheet. And so we're just going to go over some of the highlights here. Hazards. Potential hazards. Destroys tissue at the site of contact. Usually skin or eyes.
So we're losing our skin and eyes again.
Yes. I mean, not that we needed those to begin with.
I guess
with.
We didn't.
May cause respiratory irritation.
I'm seeing a trend.
Weird. May release toxic gas. Yes. Let's go to the danger page, as I will refer
There's
to
a
it.
Danger page?
To be fair, it does say danger everywhere.
Danger,
like I said,
danger.
A lot of this stuff is written in black and white. All you have to do is read it. I know a lot of you don't like to read instructions. You don't like to read directions.
I mean, if you're looking at our page right now, it's literally written in black and white.
Right. So, but let's not. Let's look at some of these possible terrible results from mixing bleach. Violent reaction. Release of toxic gas, which the reaction or release may occur violently. Formation of compounds which are toxic and potentially explosive.
Explosion.
Yes. Oh, here's the next one. Formation of explosive compounds. So we get that at least twice. Oh, release of toxic gas. Formation of organics which may be toxic or carcinogenic. More cancer. More cancer. Oh, let's see. Don't combine with metals because it might cause items to rupture. Production of heat from the reaction. Can you imagine, like, boiling the bleach and then having it mix with other compounds in the fabrics, whether it's synthetic fabrics or other compounds that are used in, like, the finishings of the fabrics that then causes it to boil more? Like, and then it's going to splash everywhere, and then you're going to lose your skin and your eyes. I mean, so far, this is a terrible plan.
So it's basically Bakugo.
No, don't tell people that. Then they'll want it.
King Explosion Murder.
Is it King Explosion Murder or King Murder Explosion?
I think it's both.
Either way.
At some point.
No.
It will not, I'm sorry, but mixing bleach with things will not make a handsome Bishonen appear in your home.
A very angry
handsome Bishonen.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. Like, all right, so when you boil other liquids, typically that's how you then turn it specifically into a gas on purpose. We already told you that if you get bleach on your skin or in your eyes, it's going to cause tissue damage. We already discussed that. And for those of you that don't know, you're going to end up possibly with really bad burns or, you know, lose your vision, which is bad. Bad, bad, bad. Let's not do that. Now, if we're potentially boiling it, we are going to turn that into a vapor on purpose, which is then going to get in our eyes and on our skin.
Death.
I have a very important question.
Yes.
Can we boil bleach inside of a silicone mold, inside of our toaster oven, inside of our refrigerator that we need for our skin? But then we never get to use a silicone mold, the toaster oven, or the refrigerator for food ever again.
We would most likely just blow up the refrigerator and whatever house we were doing this in at the time.
Oh, that's a valid point. Yeah. So,
because
it turned into King Explosion Murder.
Yes.
So, yeah. No, don't do that.
So the other thing.
Why?
So obviously we've seen that bleach reacts with pretty much everything. You don't know what chemical compounds are in the fabric you are trying to bleach.
Right. I mean, unless you legitimately, like, raise that cotton or raise that sheep on your own and spun those fibers and wove it, you don't actually know. It could say it's 100% whatever, especially when you're getting synthetics involved.
Right.
There are so many... Well, and there are so many finishes. That's why you always want to pre-wash your fabrics, because they put finishes on them typically to help keep them last longer and also to keep them cleaner while they are in the stores. So just like you might put like Scotchgard on something that you're going to be wearing and you don't want to get stains on, like shoes or whatever. The same thing happens with these fabrics. They are washed and coated in these compounds to help keep their life longer. Especially before they're purchased, they want to make sure that they look as good as long as possible so that people will buy them. You don't know what all is going to be on there. It's not worth the risk.
No.
Ultimately, like, yes, bleach can lighten fabrics. It's probably going to turn your blacks like a weird shade of like neon brown.
Yeah, or like an orange.
Yeah.
Because whenever I've accidentally gotten bleach on like darker clothing, it turns it orange.
If you're going to do it, find a product that's actually meant for that. I mean, bleach is supposed to white your whites. And if you get the color safe bleach, again, it's just supposed to kind of brighten it up. But usually that's because it eats the top layer of fabric off.
Right.
Like, you kind of have to understand how some of this stuff actually works. Because if it's legit going to eat the top layer of your fabric off, of course it's going to look pretty. It's like whenever you get one of those little razors to use on a sweater.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it gets rid of all your pilling, but eventually your fabrics get worn down more and more because you're slowly shaving a thin layer of it off every time. Yes, in the immediate, it looks good, but you're actually hurting the structure of your fabric overall. So it's not necessarily something I would recommend anyway.
Right.
This got really dark and really deep really quick.
Death.
Can we go back to talking about science that's more fun?
Science!
Let's go back to Science or Cosplay the Musical, because this is...
Science or Cosplay the Musical. I mean...
Goodness.
And as we've mentioned before, these are all real questions that real people asked that they were considering trying.
Yes. Like, and I don't think I ever saw an update from this one, so...
I haven't seen an update.
I really hope that you didn't do it.
No.
And I really hope that you didn't die.
I actually don't have an update for any of these.
Oh.
Most of the time, we actually don't get updates for the questions that we have.
Well, and I think a lot of times people are embarrassed about it.
Right.
Because they're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have asked that. But again, no question is a stupid question, because obviously somebody thought this, which means somebody else probably also thought this.
Oh, easily.
And was considering trying this. So if we can tell you, please don't do this because it's not safe. Please don't do it. It's not safe. Like, there are other alternatives that are viable out there, like using a color remover, or just buying fabric in a closer color.
Right.
I mean, because you can always buy a lighter color and darken
it up. And dye
it
darker.
Or you could buy a Grey Good and then completely color it from scratch, which is going to be more controlled overall than taking something like as dangerous and harsh as bleach and hoping to control it in some sort of environment.
Right, because you'll find that a lot of these shortcut kind of ideas will actually end up costing you more in the long run than if you just bought the product that was closest to what you needed.
Yeah, both in time and money.
Right.
Really, I mean, is the moral of the story I've learned with most of these.
Yeah, because I mean, in the long run, hot glue is cheaper, but then you may go through a ton of it just trying to get one good product when you could have possibly done resin instead.
Or maybe it's only going to last you that one wear.
Right, and then you're going to have to remake them.
Which, if that's your intention and that's what you want to do, I mean, obviously, it's your cosplay, it's your costume, more power to you for however you would like to do it. We just want you to be safe.
Well, I can definitely tell you, gluing a costume together with E6000 will not last as long as sewing it with a machine.
Right, or even by hand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, hand sewing's tedious, but it's still doable by comparison. But, yeah.
I mean, the moral of the story is just because you can...
Doesn't
mean you should. And that's really the moral of this entire podcast.
That's the moral of everything, is if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. And just because you can, doesn't mean you should. You're going to hear those words out of our mouths so many times.
Well, and hopefully by our fourth episode, we'll know if I got a crown or not.
Yes. So we don't know yet because as Elle's giving away all of our secrets over here, we are binge recording at the moment for our first couple episodes to get it out.
I believe this is the episode that airs during C2E2 weekend.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends. Maybe it is.
Maybe it isn't.
I guess we'll find out later. But ultimately, right now, we don't know. But as soon as we know, we'll let you know. So be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Podcast SCS. I will definitely post what happens with Crown Championships of Cosplay and if she got into that juried show or not. So there's no way she'll be able to keep it a secret. We've already discussed she's bad at that.
It's true. So most likely if you follow our social media, you will find out before we say anything about it on the podcast.
It's true. Be sure to follow us there or on our regular cosplay Facebook for some more cosplay shenanigans at Lovey Cosplay. I guess that's all we're going to bore you with for today.
It is all we have, all the shenanigans we have for you for today.
I think
today.
It got pretty heavy pretty quick, so I think we're going to leave natural selection on the note of we told you all not to do it so you didn't die, so that's a happy ending.
Yes.
So, go team.
Woo!
Go team on not dying.
Go team not die.
Yes, go team not die. Can we get that like on a shirt?
Please.
Please. Good. Go team, not die.
Go team, not die.
I like it. That's a great plan.
Yeah.
So we'll catch you next time. This is Ashlyn.
I'm Elle.
We are Lobby Cosplay.
And this is Shit Cosplayers Say.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Shit Cosplayers Say, an LVC production. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Podcast SCS. Our website is lavicosplay.com. Have a fun, crazy con or cosplay-related story, absurd cosplay question, or just something in general to share with us? Email us at podcastscs@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, just because you can, doesn't mean you should.